Hello, we are Angela Benjamin
and David J. Lilly,
and we are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We are both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or creative type, or spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkling chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple, Spotify, and Chrome Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Ange
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life.
Okay, hello. Today's episode of Little Gems on Jewellery and Life is with me flying solo. Ange on her own, no David. He's put me in at the deep end today, but I'm actually really excited because I'm getting to interview a jeweler who I've been following on Instagram for quite a while, and I absolutely love her work. And I'm also going international because Cassandra is in Cologne, Germany. Yay! So today I'm going to be chatting to Cassandra Kudoke, who is in Cologne, Germany. And as I said, I've been following her work for ages. It's amazing. She's a very detailed jeweler, and she describes her work as sentimental and romantic. But I think there's a lot more that she can tell us about herself. So hello, Cassandra.
Hello, Angela. Wow, thank you so much for the nice introduction. And thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be on this podcast with you.
Fantastic. I'm really excited to be chatting to you as well. So let's get started straight in, because one of the things I love about your Instagram and your stories is we get to see snippets of your studio, and your studio is a little bit special. So if you can tell me why.
Yeah, right now I'm working out of my bedroom. So it's a corner in our flat in Cologne, and we just parted our bedroom in two parts, and one part is now my little workspace. Since 1 year we've been living here, and it will be that way just a few weeks from now on, because we will move. We found a little house with a little garden, and that will be the first time when we move there that I will have a dedicated space and room only for my work. And this will be a big change for me, and I can't wait. But right now it's a little corner. It's very full of plants, full of light. I really like it here, and I'm really glad I had the space and we could make it work around here, because it's, to be honest, too expensive for me to rent a space outside of my own home.
Sure.
Right now. So I'm very glad we could make it happen here, and I can work here. Yeah. But I'm very excited for the new space.
And was your studio mobile at one point? Were you?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I just wanted to... that's true. It started out in our camper van. It's a 30-year-old mobile home. And it started out when we were in Spain. I always had this like kind of dream to change my profession and become a jeweler. And when we took a break and quit our old jobs, I thought this is the perfect opportunity. And I took a few goldsmithing classes before we left, and made my boyfriend build me a little travel workbench on a campground in Spain. And that was pretty much the starting point. I ordered some tools and started from there to really, how do you say, hone my skills, like to to work.
You've definitely done that. I would say your skills are well and truly honed.
Thank you so much. Yes, to become a goldsmith was actually my first wish for a profession. But I took another route, and then when I reached 30, I was ready for a change. And then I
asked what you did before.
I worked in a post-production company, and I did all the managing around the equipment and the people who work there, the cutters, the editors, the, I don't know how, to translate right now, but yeah, basically for a post-production company. Yeah.
So you've always been creative.
But at this time in my life, more on in my private life, I always had a YouTube channel where I could explore creatively stuff on my own, but this work was very dry for me, so I really needed a change and made this happen with
That's
this
brilliant. So
with this
what
channel.
are you working on at the moment? What's your latest work?
Yeah, right now I'm working on my mother's wedding ring. She will get married in June, and I create a beautiful wedding ring for her. I'm actually really really glad that she does something not so common. She chose a salt and pepper diamond, but more like a slice, a very thin slice. It almost looks like glass, and it's quite big and a rectangle form, but with cut corners.
Nice.
And the inclusions, so the pepper part of this diamond, really looks like a universe. I love this stone, and we will create a really nice signet style ring for her, like more on the heavy side, not dainty. Most of my rings are very dainty, but I'm glad my mother chose a little bit something heavier. So I'm really excited to do this. So that's actually right now on my bench, and I always work on multiple pieces at the same time because I can't really follow through with one piece. I always have to
relate to that.
I always have to start, do a little bit, and then come back to it later when the energy is right again for this
Work.
Exactly this piece. I don't know why, but it's kind of how I work. I can't start and finish the same day on one piece.
I can totally relate to that. I'm exactly
good to hear.
If I start a process and I like that, I'll do it for a while, and then I'm bored, then I'll go back to something else. But I think a lot of creative people are like that. We need lots of stimulus.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it is. And another project I'm working on right now, which I really like working on, is another signet style ring. You see, there's a pattern. I really like the heavy stuff right now, and it's in yellow gold. And we got an opal custom cut for this ring because the woman who this ring is for, she runs a vegan cafe here in Cologne, and she had a very specific vision for this stone because she had a ring from her aunt and she lost it, and she wants to resemble it in a kind of way. So we got a custom cut, and now we had a fitting yesterday to make sure the ring really sits perfect before I set the opal. So that's next, setting the opal. Yeah. So these are some of the rings I'm working on right now, which I'm very excited about. Yeah,
I can tell. And it sounds like you're super busy as well. So as a maker, what is your biggest fear?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question because I thought about it quite some time. And to be really honest, my biggest fear is that my customer, because I do most of my work is custom jewelry, so I really try to tell the story my customer wants to tell with this piece, and I really try to take all the meaning and all the symbolism and all, lack of better word, energy I can collect and put it in this piece. And my biggest fear is that my customer is not satisfied. This is really my biggest fear, to not match their expectation. So I work really hard to, in the best case, maybe exceed their expectations. So my biggest fear does not come true. But that's really something I feel would make me really sad, or would sit with me if that's the case. Luckily, I always make sure to send all my customers updates and show them pictures, show them sketches before we even start, to make really sure, I ask a lot of questions to make really sure I get their vision and I really understand what they want from me. The fear when the final piece gets sent off and I always, oh, this sounds weird, but I always track if it's already arrived. So I'm really.
See how long it's taking them to react to it.
Yeah, I know, it's horrible to
yeah,
admit,
to do that as well.
but also to make sure it really arrived. Yeah. Not that they owe me my customers, of course, don't owe me a reaction, but
sure.
In most cases, I hear back and they are all very lovely. I have very lovely customers and they are always so thoughtful and so nice. And but I make sure they're also very involved in the process. I make really sure they really get on this journey with me so they can see how this piece evolves and is built, because I do a lot of hand fabrication. Is it
yes.
the right word? Yeah.
Yes.
And so I can show a lot of steps. And
I think that's what I really love about your Instagram and especially your stories. You show your process.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some jewelers are a little bit kind of, they keep things to themselves and they want to hide it. But it's lovely as another maker being able to see how you construct something. So I can imagine how a customer would feel seeing, you know, their little idea and they've just got a stone or some gold and then suddenly seeing you put it together. It's all part of the story of how the piece comes about. So I think it's really nice that you share that. And then often your photographs I find are lovely, gorgeous. The way that you position them will, and you put an explanation of who the ring is for. I always have to hit translate because I only have O-level German. But it's lovely how you explain the piece and who it's for. And you
thank
can
you
see
so
that.
Much.
It's really great.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. It really means a lot, especially when it comes from another maker, because you know how many hours and how much work goes into every piece. And I really like this about the work too, because that's part of the magic for me, to see how from raw materials you can make something that tells a story. And I really like to share that, not only in my Instagram stories, but also very on a exclusive level for the customer.
Yeah.
So that my customers always gets the first look. I never share anything on Instagram before they see it. So it's a really special process for me that my customers give me their trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I really try to make sure that they are not disappointed in this decision. I don't know how to say
it. I can't believe any would be. And I think you may well have answered my next question, because we're talking on video now, so I can see how excited Cassandra gets when she's talking about her process. But the question is, what brings you most joy when you're making
everything of it? No, but I love this question, because that's part of why we do what we do, right? The parts that excites us. And for me, it's definitely stone setting and soldering. Yeah, I know. Both of
my two biggest fears.
I also thought about why.
Okay, I need to hear the why.
The only reason I could come up with, because I really like that both of these tasks require a lot of planning ahead, and I like to wrap my head around to solve like a riddle. If I have something very complex to solder, I really have to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go in and just see how it goes. I really have to plan and see which solder I use for which joint, and I take my time with it, and I do it often if I can in the evenings when I feel like the city is quiet and everything
has to be just right. You're like a surgeon.
It also helps me when it's dark outside, so I can see the metal change in color a little bit better. And and I also like troubleshooting, I guess, because both of these are tasks where you might enter a situation where you really have to think how to solve a problem. And I don't know, I have fun in this, but it's also nerve-wracking. It's totally nerve-wracking for me, and I don't know why I love these parts so much, but I honestly do. These
you're,
are
the, you're the first jeweler that I've spoken to who's been excited about soldering, so I think I'm going to send you some sort of little award or something. I don't know what, but I'll think about that.
And I also, and I know that this is a part most jewelers don't like, but I also quite often enjoy polishing, because I think that it brings it all together. Yes. Everything yeah. you've worked for so many hours really comes together when you do the polishing, and I like this too. Not the polishing itself, with because I always have to wear this whole equipment with the glasses and the mask and stuff, because I'm very sensitive to all the dust and sitting there for hours, but I love the result very much, so I guess I like polishing too.
No, that you sound like you have the makings of a good teacher, Cassandra, because those are probably all the things that teachers, you know, the basics that we need to get right. But it's true. It's, you know, get your soldering right. And I've only recently been improving my soldering. And I know what you mean. I had to solder a massive, complicated piece. And yeah. normally I would just like, yeah, just give it a go. But mm-hmm. I spent days thinking,
yeah.
how am I going to do this? How am I going to set it up? Yeah. And, you know, it made life so much easier.
It pays off, right? I'm not a big planner, but these parts I really take seriously.
It totally paid off. So yeah, high five with you on that one.
That's weird. Yeah.
So yeah, what other creatives give you inspiration in your life or work?
Yeah, I also love this question. I'm very lucky to have a few creative people, musicians, fellow small business owners in my life. And what's very inspiring for me is to talk to them about their process, just to get to know how other people work, because mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel the same, but sometimes when you're all day alone at the bench, it can be quite lonely. I really love this about it, but also it's part that I sometimes miss, like, coworkers. So it's always interesting for me to ask other creatives how they work, what their process is, and I really am interested in how other creatives, and especially self-employed creatives, mm-hmm. Deal with the struggles of being mm-hmm. self-employed and deal with the ups and downs. And I find this very inspiring, how people deal with this, because I personally think it can sometimes be quite a struggle, as much as I love it and appreciate it, to be able to do this full time and pay all my bills with it. It can be a struggle. So it's really inspiring for me to talk with others how they overcome certain things. Yeah.
I think a lot of jewelers are, you know, solo workers and self-employed, mm-hmm. you know, those two things. And it is quite important from a creative point of view to get other people's input. Yeah. And, you know, just feedback, and also how to run a business, because that's not something I was ever taught or trained.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. It's so much you have to think of. Yeah, totally right.
Yeah.
And especially for me, I'm very lucky. I just want to mention, because you were nice enough to mention that my photography of my pieces, that my boyfriend is a photographer. And
you've got
I was very lucky. He took such a workload off of me when he took my pictures, because I think for me it's such a daunting task sometimes, because you have just this one chance, and after that, when it's a commission, taking a picture is almost the last step. Then it gets a quick repolish and gets packaged and is gone forever. And so this is really my goodbye, and sometimes this feels so draining that I have to say goodbye after this. Sometimes it's hard for me to say
it's
goodbye.
It's like a relationship that you've built
kind
up.
Of yeah, and really it is.
They've gone. It's a goodbye, but they've gone.
Yeah, and it's sometimes so sad. And he really helped me so much with taking my pictures, and also because he himself is very busy, he taught me a lot about photography, and now I'm able to know a little bit what I'm doing with the camera and take pictures myself. So that's very helpful for me and also very inspiring, of course, because he's very hardworking and I can learn a lot from him because he's self-employed for several years. So that's also a big inspiration for me.
That's great. What's been your favorite commission so far?
Ooh, that's an exciting question for me because last year in December or November, I got asked to make an engagement ring, and it was a very special commission for me because first things off, he said, "I totally trust you. The only thing I really want to make sure is that it's a blue sapphire because he really has a connection with blue sapphires." And it's a classic silhouette, but he wants sure to make it's not a everyday ring. He wanted something special,
Sure.
but he really trusted me. So I took this classic silhouette idea and asked him a lot of questions about what they liked, what they do, how they met and kind of stuff, because I really tried to find the story I want to tell with this piece.
Okay.
And he told me a lot of what they do and their free time. They like to be out in nature and they like to do vacations in the Black Forest and all kinds of hiking stuff. And I took this idea and turned it into a ring where I casted a twig of an oak tree into 18 karat gold for the ring band
Oh, I
because
think I saw
oaks.
that one. I think I remember.
Yeah, I haven't posted it yet, but I did some twig ring bands in silver and I really like those. So I took this idea and we casted it in 18 karat gold and made the ring band out of it. And in the parts where the leaves would come out, I set little teeny tiny 1 millimeter diamonds in it. And the setting for the sapphire, we engraved around the setting like a forest scene from the Black Forest, like the most common trees that grow there. And I really, really love this ring. I had a hard time parting with that too, because it was so much fun to create this one because he trusted me completely. And I think we really hit the spot between classic silhouette, because when you just briefly look at it, it looks like a solitaire, like a classic solitaire ring. But when you have a second look, you really see all the details and all the little hidden engravings and tiny diamonds. And it's very subtle. And you see it on the second look. And I really love this. And I also do a lot of memorial pieces where I take ashes or fur or hair and put it in some kind of urn or in another kind of jewelry piece I create to show maybe some cat fur, or I build little gold urns to put ashes in it and seal it with. I had a potter. She had a little dog and that died, and we took the ashes in a little urn I carved from wax, and then we got it casted in gold and we sealed it with a little tourmaline in the color of her favorite glaze, and which was also the color of the dog's bed. So these are the kinds of little tales I try to incorporate in the pieces, so to create a connection. So it's not just I'm sorry. So
Also, there's a lot of memory attached to it as well, isn't there?
yeah,
The memory of
exactly.
either the person or the pet, or
Yeah.
that sounds amazing.
Thank you so much.
Next question. Are there other materials that you'd like to make jewelry from?
Yeah, that I haven't. Let's start there. I haven't, but I'm really interested to maybe do something in glass. I think glass is an interesting material, but I'm also kind of, I don't know, I would be scared to break it or something, and then it's gone.
You see, I guess you're working with, you know, really precious gems anyway.
Yeah.
So you're
true.
I imagine you're quite sort of secure and safe in the way that you do things. You're not going to be, you know, chucking it around. And
that's probably true. Yeah, I could see glass happening just for fun, not for my shop, but for fun. I think it's cool. And I also would really like to someday, if I have the right equipment, to create rings or earrings just out of solid stone, just to cut the stone, polish stones. I really think that's a cool way. There are a few people out there who does that, and I think it's amazing that they just take a piece of stone and create a wearable ring out of it, because it's such a
hard
material to work with, and it's amazing. But I just for me, just for fun, would love to try something like this one time. Do you have anything you'd like to play with?
Other materials. I've worked a bit with wood, and I like the idea of incorporating wood. Particularly, I don't know if you've seen bog oak, which is the really dark 1,000-year-old oak, and it's reasonably soft, but it's almost jet black. But then you have all the lovely sort of veins in it as it's grown. So something like, I think wood material would be really nice. I think it works. It complements metals, particularly silver, quite well. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially when it's a darker wood. Yeah, I can see that with silver.
So this next question, I think, I don't know, for me, I haven't got a clue, but what would you say is your plan for the next 5 years? I feel like that's a very grown-up question.
I know, you really hit me with that one, because I tried to make it to the next 5 months, but I really would love to create a cohesive small collection that could be made to order on my website, because right now what I do is custom commissions, and then when I have time in between, I do what I want to do and put it in the shop. Or what I sometimes do, it's like I call it my semi customs, is if I have a stone or idea what I really would love to make, I sometimes put it in my Instagram stories and offer it, often for a better deal. But it makes so much more sense to me to make something for someone, especially in their size and everything. And so sometimes if I really have a itch to do something, I try to find someone who wants what I would love to make. But like a little cohesive collection that would be made to order, that would be something I would love to accomplish in the next 5 years. And I also would love to hone my hand push engraving skills in the next 5 years, because I took a master's class last summer. Also, I took a stone setting class last summer, which was really amazing, because I learned so much more. And same with engraving, we built so many tools which I would never be able to build in my bedroom corner right now, so I'm really excited that we got to do it there, and I got to meet a lot of other jewelers, and it was very exciting to have all these people in the same room learning the same stuff, and I really enjoyed engraving. Right now I'm doing some of my engravings myself, but when it's very important, like engagement ring, 18 karat gold important, I ship it off to a woman here in Germany who I really trust, and she's amazing, and she's also the person who gave this master's class, and she does most of this.
I was going to ask you, actually, when you mentioned engraving, if you did all of your own processes, because I've only recently, in the past year or so, discovered that you can have your stones with someone else. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me neither. because I'm not a professionally or like a traditional trained jeweler. I'm pretty much self-taught up until the point where I took like the master classes. I took some classes a few years ago, but just to really get a feel if I would like to do this. But yeah, I really enjoy hand engraving. I think it's special touch to add to every piece, and I really would love to be far better than I am right now. And yeah, I also would really love to learn how to facet stones.
Ah.
These are like three things I would love to accomplish in 5 years. I think that's realistic.
I think that's totally realistic. I think, yeah, David keeps teasing me and saying that he'll let me practice some faceting because he has all the equipment at his lovely studio, which is in a converted barn.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so, yeah, he facets some of his stones. But yeah, I think it would be a lovely additional skill to have, especially you making, you know, such bespoke and sentimental pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Also, if you have the chance to peek over the shoulders of someone who's already doing it, it's so special, because I think this craft is really like mysterious and private. I think this is some. I had a chat with a goldsmith from Australia the other day, which is like internet magic to me that I just can't chat with. Also, like we are chatting right now, but I could chat with someone in Australia, and he's also faceting some of his stones himself, and he told me the same, that he had one guy who taught him how to. And it's amazing. If you have the opportunity to learn, go do it and tell me all the secrets.
I will, definitely. So who are you finding exciting on Instagram at the moment?
Mostly people who work with their hands too. It's, of course, I'm following a lot of other jewelers, because I'm always interested in the process and how other people work and stuff. But I'm really interested in pottery, in handmade pottery, and I'm also very interested in woodworking. I follow one person. She makes like wooden bowls and stuff. And I recently bought a handmade wooden spoon from another woman from Berlin, and I really, really love all the handcrafted stuff. I love to watch knitting content. I think it's oddly relaxing for me, just to see, because when I don't know if you experience the same or similar thing, but when I watch other jewelers, I get kind of pressure to go to my workbench and
that's all right. You're allowed a little swear on here. It's hard.
I feel the pressure to work myself right now. But when I watch someone who does something I'm not even interested in doing myself, just watching because I like to watch it, it takes off the pressure in some kind of way. So
I totally agree. And I think it's also that thing of seeing other people doing crafts that have been done for hundreds and thousands of years the same way, but doing it in a modern, you know, using maybe more contemporary tools, or doing it in a different setting. But ultimately, it's a bit like jewelry. Yeah. It's, you know, the tools that you use, your gravers, the tools that you're using to sort of melt your gold, it's all stuff that's been around for, you know, hundreds of years. And I think that's what fascinates me about watching other makers as well.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Yeah.
So do you listen to anything when you're working, like podcasts or music?
Most days it's, I would say, YouTube and rewatching Studio Ghibli movies, like just
you're working.
Yeah, just letting them play in the background, so I have a little cozy background noise, which I don't have to follow because I know every single
word
of every dialogue. But just to have company from my beloved
I love Ghibli that
friends. That's the honest answer. I would love to.
We only want honesty on here. We're not fancy. We want the bare bones and all the gossip. And talking of gossip and advice, if you were to come across someone who said, "Oh, I really want to be a jeweler," what would you tell them? What advice?
Yeah, advice would always be to take a course anywhere in your city or in the next bigger city near you. Find someone who offers a weekend workshop or something like this and see if you really like the atmosphere in a workshop, if you really like to work with your hands, with tools, if you have the patience to sit at the desk all day and be very close to your work all day. So really see if that is enjoyable for you, and also try what you really would love to make. Of course, in the beginning, your skill is not where your vision is. That was the same for me, definitely still is. My vision is ahead of my skill set, but try what you really would like to make, because in that situation, you keep pushing. When you do something someone tells you to, with what you're not really interested in, you might lose that spark you have in the beginning. And I think it's all about protecting the spark so you can keep going. Because for me, you need this spark to light a fire every every step along the way, because it's hard work. It's hard on the body. It's hard for me, on my eyes, on my fingers. See if this really lights up something in you. And if it does, keep going and keep pushing. But I think it's very rewarding, very, very rewarding work. What do you think?
I totally agree. And I love what you said about having that spark. So what's your favorite? I think I probably know the answer to this. Fine jewelry or contemporary jewelry?
Yeah, I'd say fine jewelry. I'm also very interested in contemporary jewelry, because it's something that can, what, how do we say it, that can create really new ideas, which is I guess more I don't want to say something offending, but I think it's rare in fine jewelry to have something very new, and contemporary jewelry you might see something you haven't seen. Oh no, is it? I don't know
how to do. I totally get what you mean, but I think as well, partly why I like your work, even though it is very fine jewelry, you've got a really nice, there's something contemporary in there that draws me.
Thank you.
Way that you're making, or the stories behind how you're making, and I think that's really important. And I think a lot of the time the actual maker can dictate whether their jewelry is classed as fine jewelry or contemporary jewelry.
But yeah, you're right.
Yours is fine jewelry, but you've got a really classic timelessness to it, but it's modern as well.
Thank you so much. That's actually what I tried to.
Yay! What are you doing?
Thanks so much for seeing it. But yeah,
I can totally see it. I totally see it. And I think this probably leads me on to my next question, which is, but you might think differently, what do you think is your unique skill that's helped you become successful?
For me, what I feel is something I can offer to every customer is a genuine interest in their story and my whole heart and skill set to turn this story into a wearable piece of jewelry. Where I get joy for myself when I can really connect with someone. Not that it's always required from every customer that they tell me their whole story, but it's nice to be able to tell stories.
Last question seems like a bit of an odd one, but I quite like it. What are you not very good at?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I think I already said it, but all the paperwork stuff fills my nightmares. I'd say sawing. I could use a lot of
really.
Practice. Yeah, it's something I really don't enjoy. So I make it rather rough and keep filing until I have the shape I desire.
Considering you love soldering and
I don't know why I keep breaking blades. It's not my strong suit.
I don't know if this will help you, Cassandra. A little tip that I was always taught.
Yes, tell me.
Forehandle. When I'm teaching my workshops, I always say to the students, imagine that your saw handle is a little hamster that you don't want to strangle.
Okay, I love this. All right.
And you're just holding him. You're not strangling. Try it next time and see how many saw blades you break.
I'm sure I could never think of something else when I'm sawing from that. I loved it.
Oh,
I enjoyed this so much.
So much fun. I've really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for giving up your time.
Thank you so much for listening.
And please, please, please give Cassandra a follow on Instagram. Her Instagram is Cassandra Kudoke. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
And I'll spell that CassandraKudoke. And that will be on the show notes as well. But definitely have a look at Cassandra's beautiful work. And I will be back here soon with Mr. Lily. Over and out.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track Octopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.